Welcome back to After the Siren, proudly brought to you by the Bendigo Bank. Our next guest is a long-term advocate of women's football, and she's been involved with the St Kilda Sharks Women's Footy Club for a while now. She's also been involved with the former Victorian Women's Football League and is currently the Vice President of the St Kilda Sharks Football Club. And she joins us now. Finally, we're able to get you to the air. Lisa Catter, welcome to After the Siren. How are you?
Good, thanks, Neil. Good, thanks for having me, and well done to getting us to air after your technical problems down there.
Sorry about that. I know you must have been on hold forever.
No, that's all good, because I missed your call a few weeks ago, so it's only fair that we've finally gotten here together to talk women's footy, the wonderful world of women's footy that's just going now at an unbelievable rate right across the country, Neil.
Well, first, we've got to congratulate you, Lisa, not only on your dedication, but you've been rewarded with the most valuable player of the media being named in your honour. So congratulations.
Thank you. That was a fantastic honour. Girls Play Footy is a volunteer media outlet. They've got a website. They write fantastic articles. They do podcasts. They do radio, and they named their award after me, and a great honour. And, I couldn't be happier. And a very amazing winner, Erin Phillips. What a year she had, you know, basketballer, Olympian, and now at the ripe old age of 33, she's the best and fairest in the league with a premiership medal, and she's signed on to come back for the next season. So I couldn't be happier with that one, Neil.
No, she's taken everything in front of her. Best on ground in the grand final for the Adelaide Crows there. I think they played Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, they did. They did. It was a pretty tight game all day, and they only got over the line, I think, by a goal. But having said that, they led pretty much all day. And considering that their team was comprised of players from NT and, based in Darwin, and they're South Australians based in Adelaide, and they sort of had meetings by team meetings by Skype, and they met up occasionally to train together. What a phenomenal effort by Beck Goddard, the coach, and all the staff there at Adelaide to get that team into a team and to win the flag in the inaugural year was just fantastic effort.
It was indeed. And as you said, Erin Phillips was the MVP award winner, and obviously Brianna Davey was the captain of Carlton, and she's also your captain. I think she came polled second.
She did pretty well, Brianna. She had a fantastic season. She is a phenomenal player, 21, 22 years of age, former Matilda's goalkeeper. So she'd played junior footy as a kid up until about under-12s at Port Melbourne, and then couldn't see any future in it for herself at that time. And so she took up soccer, and she played soccer overseas professionally. She played for the Matildas. She was cut from the 2015 World Cup so she came down to the Sharks halfway through the season, pulled on the boots. Gee, she was a revelation, and just such a great player and leader. And to think she's 21, 22 years of age, she's got, you know, the next 10 years ahead of her. Just amazing how she's picked up the game so quickly, Neil.
Well, you've actually got a few girls representing the St Kilda Sharks who played in the inaugural AFLW, and one of those young ladies, Penny Kula-Reed, who was really a leader in she actually went to VCAT to try get a game of football when I think she got to about 13 or 14 and she was no longer allowed to play.
Yeah, she's our co-captain along with Brianna. She's a pioneer, Penny. She started playing footy when she was six at, I think it was Murrumbina Junior Footy Club, and she played all her junior footy there. And then when she got to be 13 or 14, she was told she could no longer play, and I think her team was on the verge of finals. And she was something like on 149 games. And she was told she couldn't play, her and two other girls. And they challenged the ruling. They went to took Football Victoria, as it was then, to VCAT. And VCAT changed the age ruling so that essentially that forced Football Victoria to introduce youth girls competition, purely junior footy for girls. I don't know. If they hadn't have done what they did, I certainly don't think we would have seen the acceleration of girls in the game so quickly. And now there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of teams of youth girls across the country. So full credit to those girls. Emily Stainer, she's still playing in the game at the Spurs, Western Spurs, and Helen Taylor and Penny. So it's lucky for the many girls that followed, I think, that, you know, that they were courageous enough with their parents. And Penny's mother particularly was very staunch to say, if you want to play, I'll help you, you know, push this ruling to get it changed. So, yeah, you're right there, Neil. She's a pioneer.
Well, can you believe, as you said, that the rate of speed and the way the momentum's been gained after the or during the inaugural AFLW season? And we actually had the CEO last week of the VAFA on Michael Sholley, and he said that they've got 40 teams in the amateurs this year. It just seems to have been exploding. And even down here on the Mornington Peninsula, we've got a number of teams who are new, but we've also got a couple of established teams who are actually playing against the St Kilda Sharks in Seaford and Cranbourne.
Absolutely, absolutely. Michael Sholley, yeah, I know the amateurs put out to see what kind of a response they'd get from their clubs. They were, from my understanding, from what I've read and seen, they were thinking they might get 8 or 10 clubs interested. And lo and behold, 40 of their amateur clubs ended up entering teams. They were just astonished at the uptake. And that competition's virtually like a new senior competition, apart from a few existing clubs. Many amateurs clubs are new. And as you say, there's also, I think, the Frankston Bombers. There's plenty of teams down that way that, as well, you're right, Seaford and Cranbourne, who we play against, that have now established women's teams. And junior girls footy is just going through the roof. We were at Pascoe Vale recently for a function, women in footy function. They've got under 12s, under 14s, under 16s. You know, there's all these age groupings of girls now that want to play, and it's just beautiful to see. It really is, Neil. All these opportunities that these girls are getting that they never, ever had before.
Absolutely. That's very well said, Lisa. Now, speaking of young ladies and women, what about the under-18 championships on at the Gold Coast as we speak?
Yeah, so I think it's just wrapped up today. They've had beautiful weather from what I can see, and fantastic work by the AFL, live streaming all the games. I don't believe they've declared. There wasn't a grand final as such this year. They've often had grand finals in the past. But Vic Country, who about 3 or 4 years ago struggled to win a game, have gotten through the carnival undefeated, including defeating Vic Metro, defeating WA, and also an Allies team, which is unsurprisingly coached by Rebecca Goddard, the Adelaide Premiership coach in AFLW. That's comprising of SA and NT players and perhaps Tassie. They've gone through undefeated in their 3 games as well. So you can just see the talent coming through right across the country now, not just from the traditional capital cities in the footy states, but country areas as well, which is just, there's the future of the game right there.
Well, what can you say about the Vic Country captain in Darcy Guttridge with another AFLW season upon us almost, and the draft and everything else that's taking place behind the scenes, Lisa?
Look, absolutely. The draft will be in October, and there'll be certainly players from those championships who will be drafted. Now, we saw this year in Victoria the TAC Cup, the first time that competition was run for under-18 girls. It was a 6-week season. A man from my work went along with his daughter because his daughter had a friend playing, and he thought he'd read a book and read a book while his daughter was watching the footy, and because he hadn't seen much women's footy. And he said he was amazed. Just the skills on both feet, decision-making, you know, it's just, there's where the future will come from. It'll be interesting because we'll get a couple of new teams come into the AFLW in 2019. They'll be comprised by a lot of these youngsters, but they'll also need some experienced, hard-bodied players as well. So there's still a chance for some of the players that aren't drafted or the ones that might have got cut, but certainly the future is, you know, on the Gold Coast, what we saw, Neil. And even now, I think the Schoolgirls Championships, that's an under-16 squad. The Victorian team, that goes over to WA next week to play. So there's all those groups of elite level, the best girls now competing in the country. Unfortunately, at my age, I'm a bit too old. I've just missed out, Neil, by about 40 years.
Well, it's certainly all happening. And we've also got the footy almanac from the debut season, or the inaugural women's AFLW, coming up on the launch on the 26th of July. A lady by the name of Yvette Robey had a bit to do with that, as well as yourself and a number of other ladies.
Yeah, Yvette Robey, really the footy almanac started with John Harms. Gee, you're all over it, Neil. You're across everything, which is great. Yvette Robey.
I'm not sure about that, but actually, John's our special guest on next week's program. So.
Oh, John's a ripper bloke. He's run the almanac and encouraged many people to write about footy for a long time. And he's such a good supporter of people and writers and sport. And Yvette had the idea that she was a contributing writer to the almanac, I think, for 6+ years. And she's a mad St Kilda supporter, member, and she thought, what about an AFLW almanac? And so I was very fortunate to be asked by Yvette to write the foreword for that, which was a great honour. And that's being launched on the 27th of July, which I've seen the cover. It just looks fantastic, you know. And all the stories about all the games, AFLW games, covered in there from the fans' perspective. It's going to be a great read, for sure.
It will be indeed, and we look forward to trying to get Yvette Robey on the program a bit later as well.
Yes, definitely.
But you're looking forward to John Harms next week joining us. So, as you know,
absolutely,
he's been a long-term servant there with the Almanac, and as you said, they do a fantastic job, Lisa.
And I work with John quite a bit. When he had a spot with Lindy Burns on ABC Radio for quite a while, and when I was a VWFL media manager, he was wonderful to have regular women's footy updates on there. So yeah, he is a ripper, John. I look forward to catching up with him at the almanac launch for sure.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic night. What about the competition at the moment with leading goal kicker in Chloe Malloy from top team Diamond Creek? How's that going?
I think she's a very a rising star. Let's just say, Chloe. It's a really even competition at the moment. The Sharks actually beat Diamond Creek. I think the Dinos only lost the one game so far. We managed to beat them. But we're outside the top four on percentage, or we were, although BU Spurs have lost today. We play Melbourne Uni tomorrow. It's really a tight race for those spots in the finals. Diamond Creek were one game clear of everyone else, and then there's four teams on 6 wins and 2 losses.
Yeah, second to fifth, as you said, separated only by percentage.
Yeah, it's going to go right down to the wire, which is fantastic. It's a lot more even. We've got the point system now in play, like they have in men's footy, to try and make it a lot more even competition and to the spread of talent across the league, which is certainly working. So it's a tough race to the finals.
It certainly will be indeed. And what about Aster O'Connor, who's the Women's Academy coach? A bit of a misdemeanour in last weekend's game with Darabin versus the Eastern Devils.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago now. I believe she was reported for unduly rough play conduct. I haven't seen the event, but she was offered two, and then she decided to challenge it at the tribunal, I'm told, and she could have taken one, with an early guilty plea. It was down to one, but she challenged it and the charge was upheld, so she's missed the 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I think she's been reported previously a few years ago, after she missed a couple of weeks. She was in the inaugural, she's pretty hard at it. She was the inaugural Western Bulldogs captain back in 2013, I think it was the first ever year of the exhibition game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I just noticed in the news with the news last week, it was not great with another member of the AFL system who was suspended.
No, I noticed that had been reported in one of the papers, that obviously with the Ali Fahua incident, and then the Aster O'Connor popping up after that, being also an AFL employee. I think it's been a bit of a tough time for the headquarters at AFL House in the last few weeks, Neil.
No, it certainly has been. I'm sure they'll be glad with Hodgie covering the papers this week in the lead up to his 300th today, which, it was a fantastic game. Hawthorn Geelong once again went down. Less than a goal was the result. We won't give the result just out yet because people have probably got the game taped.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I only saw it because I was actually watching some of the VFL with Essendon taking on the Northern Blues, and I saw a little bit of the end of that game. Pretty good. Well, they always put on a ripper, don't they, those two teams?
Yeah.
The Cats and the Hawks, for sure. And Luke Hodge, what a fantastic servant of the game he's been for his club and for the game.
Indeed. Well, today I think it was Patrick Dangerfield versus Mitchell. So apparently
Paddy was on one leg, I think, by the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, so they reckon. So it's apparently was very good watching. But with the women's football down here, it's going great guns. Mornington last year won the premiership down here, and in the women's one of the leading competitions, as you said, with Seaford have been dominating the Seaford Tigerettes. That is. For a number of seasons, but they've really stepped up to the Premier League this year. And I know Cram, and as we said earlier, is also trying to battle on there in the competition. But by all means, even further down the line with Red Hill, we've got a number of women's teams that are playing football, first and foremost, which is fantastic, Lisa.
Yep.
But, gee, it's women's sport in general is really exploding, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And the media coverage of it is increasing. It's still hard work, but certainly with these leading competitions like the AFL, you know, being a leader in women's sport, cricket, you know, there's a number of sports that are really pushing out, getting more coverage. Girls can see their heroes playing, and so that encourages them that they want to play the game just the same as the boys. So it really is great to see, and it's, you know, it's only going to get better. There's still work to be done, obviously, but, yeah, it's certainly moving in the right direction. Things like the length of the AFLW season, the pay rates, all of those kinds of things. There's still, you know, a fair bit of work to be done on that. And also, I think, facilities now. AFL has exploded across the country. There needs to be sufficient facilities for girls to have, you know, an adequate change rooms, et cetera. And that all costs money, playing, you know, having enough grounds, et cetera. So it's a problem in a way, but for the government, I think federally, state and also the local governments to work together. But it's a good problem to have that we're, as a nation, embracing more sport. We'd rather that than be sitting on the couch all the time.
No, that's very well said. Well, next time when we get you on the program, Lisa, we'd love to have you down here in the studio. And we haven't had a chance to mention another legend in Anne Rulton. So would you like to come back and bring Anne with you and we'll continue to, this conversation?
Absolutely, we would. We'd love to. I'll bring Anne down for a chat, and she is a legend in it, you know, herself, just what she's done for the game. Just astonishing amount of time she spent in the game, and for someone who didn't actually play the game but put in her heart and soul as a volunteer.
Yes.
And continues to do so today. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to, Neil.
It's sure. A fantastic story, as you say, just following some of the stories in recent times that they've had in the media, just talking about the legend that is Anne Rulton, who came out from England. But we'll definitely talk about that another time when we've got a bit more time.
Right,
we'd love
Neil,
to have you
great.
Back on the program when it gets closer to the AFLW season. And by all means, we'd love to have you down here in the studio, Lisa. Thanks for joining
That'd
us today
lovely,
on After
Neil.
The Siren.
Thanks for having me.